أذكر الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات محمد وآل محمد. Subject is shaitan. The first weapon that shaitan used against mankind was hasad, or envy. This is the first weapon that he used to misguide mankind. And this happened in the time of Adam, when Allah had appointed Habib, the younger son of Adam, as the Khalifa, as the successor of Adam. Habib was appointed as the successor of Adam, and Habib was the younger brother, Habib was the older brother. And when Habib was appointed, so his older brother disputed this decision and said that I should be the one who is the successor of Adam. I should be the successor. Why Habib? He's my younger brother. He disputed this decision, and obviously this emotion that was there in him was put in by shaitan, this hasad that he had, this envy that he had. So when we look at this, Allah could have imposed his decision and said that, listen, this is the way it's going to be, whether you like it or not. I mean, listen, I am God and you are my creation. And at that time, there's only one person who's disputing. Habib is the only one who's disputing. It's not like the whole nation is disputing. Only one person is disputing. And how hard it is to make one person shut up. But you see, Allah's way is different. Allah, whenever He sees anyone dispute His decision, whenever anyone disputes Allah's decision, then Allah's way is not to impose that decision, nor to force or compel them to accept that decision. But His way has always been to prove why He made that decision. And this is not new. This wasn't new then. It happened before also. If you remember, when Allah told the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Remember when Allah قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Remember when your Lord said to the angels that I'm going to appoint a Khalifa, a successor on the earth. So who disputed? I mean, even before Iblis disputed, even before Shaitan did anything, it was the angels who disputed. It was the Malaika who disputed. He says, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُسْتَدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْتَقُ الدِّمَعَ. Are you going to place someone there who's going to cause bloodshed and fitna? We are the ones who praise you. We are the ones who glorify you, Allah. Choose one of us. Don't choose someone from the earth. He's going to cause fitna. He's going to cause fitna. You see, they disputed Allah's decision. Their dispute was not because of animosity. It wasn't because of, for example, hatefulness or spitefulness. Their dispute was because of ignorance. Now if you dispute because of ignorance, then Allah, you see, did not impose it. He said, how dare you disclose me? I mean, Allah did not say, how dare you dispute with me? How dare you challenge my authority? You are my angels. Allah didn't say that. You see, Allah said, alright, since you disputed, Allah's way is that I won't impose myself. I won't compel you to believe. But what I'm going to do is prove to you why I made this decision. Why I'm right and you're wrong. You see, this was Allah's way. This is Allah's way. Then He told the angels, alright. You want this? Here it is. Let's have a challenge. You on one side, Adam on the other side. You on one side, Adam on the other side. All the angels, I mean, just all the angels. I mean, Jibreel is there, Israfil is there, Israel is there, everyone. Malakul Maut and everyone. All the big names and big sharks, all of them are there. And all of them dispute Allah's decision. And Allah rejected their decision. I mean, all the angels had ijma. Angels had ijma. They had consensus that they should be the Khalifa, not Adam. And Allah rejected their ijma. He rejected their consensus. And by rejecting their consensus, Allah is making it clear to everyone who reads the Quran that the Khalifa of Allah, if all the angels could not form a consensus on the Khalifa of Allah, how can all the men come forward and form a consensus? I mean, masoom angels, infallible angels, if they can't get together and choose the Khalifa, how can human beings choose the Khalifa? I mean, how can we all get together and say that, okay, you know what, we're not infallible, we're not angels, but we'll choose the Khalifa for ourselves. Allah made it clear now, it's only Allah who chooses the Khalifa. And now, because they disputed, now He wants to prove to them. So how did He prove to them? He said, alright, come here, all of you, angels. You know, there were some names. There were some names that everyone used to read. There are names over there, and everyone used to read them. All the angels and the dwellers of heaven used to read these names. They knew that they're names. And so Allah asked the angels, tell me what these names are. He wasn't asking them to read the names. They could read the names. He was asking them, tell me about the names. Can you tell me? The angels looked at the names, looked at each other, and they said, no, we don't know. We only know what you have taught us, Allah. We don't know more than that. So Allah said, alright. He asked Adam to come. He asked Adam to come and he said, Adam, show me what these names are. He said, show me what these names are. And Adam told them, informed them of the names. He looked at those names and says, He said, هذا علي وأنت أعلى. هذا فات هذه فاطمة أنت فاطر السماوات والأرض. وهذا الحسن وأنت القديم وهذا الحسين وأنت القديم الحسن. You see, the battle was done. Allah proved to them, Adam is the Khalifa. Now what just happened? How was it proven? Understand this, how was it proven? The issue was, and Allah made it clear from the outset by appointing Adam and choosing him and proving his Khilafat, that Khalifa of Allah is the one who has the most knowledge amongst all of mankind. The issue was about knowledge. The issue was about ma'rifat. The issue was about recognition. Since Adam had the knowledge, Adam had the recognition, so Adam became the Khalifa. So in every age and every era from then onwards, if we want to see who the Khalifa of Allah is, it is not by who is older or who is bigger or who is stronger, but who is the most knowledgeable. Who is the most alam? Adam was the alam of all the people in that time, and hence he was the Khalifa. Now, one thing I will just say over here, so you know, you can also dispel that doubt you might have if those who read the Quran. If you read the story, you will see in the story that before the competition, Allah says that he taught Adam the names. He taught him the names. After he teaches Adam the names, then he says, okay, let's have a competition. I don't know about you, right? I'm a teacher. Right? For example, if I have a class, and if I take one student and say, listen, I'll give you all the answers here. And then say to everyone, okay, let's have a test and see who comes first. I don't know about you all, but you know, that would be a little bit, let's say, unkosher, you know. Right? That would be a little bit off, right? You know, if I teach one student all the names and say, here, I'll teach you all the names, and now let's have a competition. Of course he's going to win. Within that. But the issue is this, my friends, understand this. It wasn't about the learning. It wasn't just about ill. See, anyone can go and read books and maybe have some ill. But the issue was about ma'rifat. When Allah gave you ilm, then who has the ability to gain ma'rifat from that ilm? Allah gave ilm to everyone. You see, the moon is there for everyone to see. The sun is there for everyone to see. The trees are there for everyone to see. The whole of creation is there for everyone to see. But who looks at this knowledge of the moon and the sun and the earth and the creation and reaches the Creator and Malik? Who reaches Allah? That is called ma'rifat. So everyone knew the names, but it was only Adam who was able to reach the ma'rifat of those names. This is what is necessary. And that's why you see Allah proved to them. He didn't just say, I impose it on you. I will prove to you. This is Allah's way, my friends. Understand this. Anytime anyone disputes against Allah, Allah does not impose himself. He will prove to them that Allah is right. And so when Habil was appointed the Khalifa, so Habil, he came forward and said, I don't agree with this. Allah, oh, you don't. They understand something that we don't, so inshallah, send the salawats. We have to understand, right, my friends, that is, children are going to be children, adults have to be adults. So if they shout and scream, they're children, they're supposed to do that. It's the adults who should be talking. If the adults talk, then we have a problem. Salawat alaikum. So my friends, here you see that Qabil, the older brother, disputed. Now Allah wanted to prove to him. Adam said, alright, you disputed. I am the prophet.
I am appointed by Allah, I can impose this on you. But no, the way of Islam is different. Islam doesn't impose itself, it will prove itself. He says, alright, let's have a competition. Let's see who's going to win, you or Habib. I will give you the chance to prove yourself. Okay? So what is the competition? He said, tomorrow, both of you will bring an offering. Both of you will bring an offering, a sacrifice, something, and sacrifice it for Allah. Both Habib and Qabil. Both of you bring a sacrifice and you'll sacrifice it for Allah. Okay. So both of them, they went home. And the rule of engagement was that you bring out your stuff, whoever sacrifice an offering is accepted, Allah will send a lightning and destroy that. If the lightning hits your stuff, it means you win. If the lightning hits his stuff, then he wins. So now, I want you to now just look at psychology. Why Habib is the Khalifa and Habib is not? Habib went home and he said, this is an offering for Allah. So he took out all the best stuff that he had. The best things that he had in his home, he said, this is for Allah, I want to give it to him. Habib said, he went home and he said, well, since it's going to be lightning and be destroyed anyway, let's take out the garbage. You know, so all the huge things that went working in his house, the broken stuff, he says it's going to be destroyed anyway. So why waste useless things? It's going to go away anyway. So he took it out and brought it out there. You see, understand this ideology of Qabil. I want you to pay attention to this. And I'll give some examples so it becomes clear to you what this psychology is. Habib, I mean, this is Qabil's offering. You know, and I'll give an example so you understand this. I've seen it myself, so, you know, I'll give that example. You send me a salawats. You know, when I was in Hajj, you know, I have a group that we take for Hajj. Every year, you know, you have experiences. At one time, there was a man who came with me, a Mormon brother who came with me to Hajj, and he had his children with him. His son was there also. So obviously, you know, we went there for Hajj, and so, you know, we were in breakfast, and the son came and said, Baba, Baba, I want some money, I need to buy something. And so, you know, you take a wad of riyals there and you're looking at what to give it. There's a five, you know, like I'll explain it in our terms, $5, $1 bills, $10 bills, $20 bills, $50 bills. He took it out. So what happened is that, you know, he was like looking what to give him, right? And the son, he put his hand on the $50 bill and took it. He took the $50 bill. And the father, in his pride, smiled. He says, go ahead, enjoy yourself. Right? Go ahead, enjoy yourself. Right? He was happy. This is his son. He took 50, so he's going to spend it. Whatever he's going to spend it on, whatever he wants to buy, he's my son. You know, he gave it to him. And he was happy. You know, my son. You know, he was happy to see his son smile and be happy. Anyone would want to see their son happy. And his son is like, all like, thank Baba, and he went off. Now, me and him, again, we were walking to the haram. We're walking to the haram, right? Now, what happened is that a beggar came. A beggar came and, you know, obviously, you know, sometimes, you know, these beggars who are there, really, you know, like you feel bad for them. Right? I mean, you know, someone, he came with, you know, he had like no feet or something like that. He came, he was looking very desperate, very sad situation. And he was asking for money. Right? And so, you know, same person took out his wad, right? Went through the 50s and 20s and 10s and 5s and took out $1, and that too, one of the ones that is torn. You know, took that out and then was giving it to him. And the guy, he looked at the war, he said, how about something else? He said, get out of here. This is not for you. Imagine this, my friend. Understand this. He's this beggar. And he's not ready to even give him two. He's giving him one. And that two, a torn one. Something that's torn and worn out. Something that you don't want in your pocket. He's giving him that. And I'm just looking at this situation. He says, a minute ago, when your son asked for it, and he took it 50 by 4, so you didn't even mind. But when the beggar asked for it, you are not ready to even give him one. In fact, when you give it to him, you're angry at him. Why don't they go and work? Why don't they do something? They're doing this. Now understand this. This guy, when his son is asking, he will give him as money as he wants. But when the beggar is asking, he's looking at it. So I just asked him one question. I said, why did you do that? I mean, when your son came, you gave him 50. And when the beggar came, you gave him one. He said, well, Morana, when you give it to your son, it's for your own stuff. It's for your own stuff. It'll be spent in your own house. It will be spent in your own house. He goes and buys something, it'll be for him. It'll be in my house. But when I give to the beggar, it's going to go away. And I looked at him. I said, you got it all wrong. Don't you understand? What you give to your son is going away. But what you give to the beggar is for you. Understand this. What you give for your beggar, that is coming back to help you. What you're giving to your son is going to go away. He's going to spend it. But what you give in Allah's way, that is going to be useful for you in your grave and in your hereafter. So you should be more willing to give in Allah's way than in your own way. Understand this. My friends, thousands of years have passed. But Habil's psychology, Habil's ideology still exists today. This is how we deal with things. And trust me, you know this. Those who are here in the masjid all the time, those who run the masjid, they know this. I'm involved in two masjids over there, so I know. When you want to buy something for your house, a fridge, you buy the best fridge that you can, the best microwave that you can. When you want to give to the masjid, then you bring the broken one to the masjid and say, here. Here's the broken fridge, here's the broken masjid, here's where you are. So what's for the masjid is broken. What for your house is new. Tell me, whose ideology is this? Is this Habil or Qabil? What is our thinking like? Are we thinking like Habil or are we thinking like Qabil? Brothers, understand this. This is how you know if your character is the character of Habil or is your character the character of Qabil. This is how, if we behave like Qabil, if we are also doing the same things, we need to realize that what we give for Allah's sake should be the best work we have, and what we spend on ourselves should be the junk that we have, because that which is going to Allah is going to come back to benefit us. Salawat ala Muhammad. This is where, my friends, this is why. Well, Habil took the best stuff that he had, he put it out there. The best stuff that he had, he put it out there. He said, this is for Allah. And Habil, he took out his garbage. He said to his wife, oh, whatever useless things we have, take it out. You know, we have an offering to give tomorrow. And so, they had that used things garage sale, you know. Take everything out there, dump it out there. You know, one man's junk is someone's treasure. Maybe this is Allah's treasure. Let it happen. Understand, this is the attitude. He took it out, and obviously what was going to happen, happened. Allah struck Habil's, the light became on Habil's offering. And it was made clear to Habil that, listen, you brought out the garbage. He brought out the best for Allah. That's why he is the Khalifa and you are not. He is the Khalifa and you are not. And here, Habil should have accepted. Now it's proven to him why Habil is the Khalifa. why he is better. It's proven to him now. But you see, this is where hasad comes in. This is where envy comes in. He couldn't handle that. He couldn't take that. So he ended up killing his brother. He ended up killing his brother. My friends, this is a lesson for every elder to understand that if his younger brother or someone younger in his family is better than he is, then accept the fact that he's better. Accept the fact that he's more endowed than you are. He's more gifted than you are. Accept that fact. Otherwise, if you don't accept that fact, that envy will destroy you. And every elder should realize this. If you are the older brother, then recognize that if your younger brother is better than you are, then accept the fact that he's better. If you are a father, if you see your son, if he is better than you are, then accept the fact that he's better. Then yes, he is more gifted than I am. He's more talented than I am. Accept it. Otherwise, envy will destroy you. We see two fathers in history. Two fathers we see in history. And both of them received the news that their son had become the Khalifa. Right? Both of them had received the news that their son had become the Khalifa. Right? The first father was Abu Talib, who was the uncle of Imam Ali. He was in Dawat al-Bashira when Imam Ali accepted what the Prophet said. And the Prophet said, you will be my Khalifa and you will be my Wasi. So everyone came to Abu Talib and they taunted him. He said, oh, look at this. Your son has become the Khalifa and your leader now. Your son has become your leader. So Abu Talib's reply to that was that it is a source of pride for any father that his son becomes his leader. The source of pride for me that my son is better than I am. His own father, Abu Talib. His father said that this Ali is my son. If he is my leader, it is a pride for me that he is my leader. So this is one reaction you saw. And the other reaction was Abu Bakr's father. When he was told that, when Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, they went to his father and he was told, hey, your son became the leader of the Muslims. So the first question he asked is that, how in the world did he become a Khalifa? I mean, his own father couldn't believe he's a Khalifa. His own father couldn't believe he's a leader. What do you mean he's a leader? How did he become a leader? I mean, a father knows his son more than anyone else. Right? How did he become the Khalifa? I said, well, because he's the eldest amongst us. He's the most older amongst us. The father said, what are you talking about? I'm his father. I'm older than he is. I should be the Khalifa. My friend, on one hand you see this reaction, on the other hand you see that reaction. This is why you see that hasad is something, it could come in anyone. If you're not careful, it comes in anyone. This is one hadith about hasad. It is said by the Prophet that al-hasad yaqul al-iman ama taqul al-nar al-hadad. He said that hasad eats away iman like fire eats away wood. You know, like fire damages wood, it goes right through wood. Just like that, hasad destroys your iman. If you have iman, then the thing that destroys iman is envy and hasad. This is what destroys iman. And then, ya Allah, if hasad destroys iman, then there should be something to build iman also. There should be something to build iman also. If hasad is the thing that destroys it, there must be a cure for that. There must be a cure for hasad. There must be a cure and protection from hasad. For example, if there's an allergy, right? I mean, there must be a pill that helps you to protect yourself from allergies, or a virus, or bacteria, whatever it is. And there should be something you can take, an antibiotic. If hasad destroys iman, then something must be there to protect us. So, here we see Rasulullah said, yes, of course. You want to protect yourself from hasad? Then I'll give you the pill for it. He says, Ya Ali, hubbuka al-iman. The Prophet said, Oh Ali, your love is iman, your love is faith. In other words, hasad destroys faith. Ali's love gives faith, nourishes faith. So wherever Ali's love is, enemy cannot be there. And wherever enemy is, Ali's love cannot be there. Understand this, what I've said. And I want to make it clear. Some people say, oh, we see a lot of people who love Imam Ali but still there. Hasood. Envious. Okay? The hadith is not wrong. The hadith is sahih. They have to look at their Imam, whether they truly love Ali or not. If someone is saying that he loves Ali and still has hasad, then he has to look at his own self, whether this love of Ali is true or not. If it was true, then hasad would be there. And if hasad is there, then that love is not true. And the reasoning is very simple behind that. Understand the reasoning so you know for certain. My friends, look around you. Look in history. Look in any environment. You will never see a rich man being envious of a poor man. No rich man who has everything is ever envious of something who has nothing. Right? For example, if I have everything, I have a Lamborghini in your homeless, I don't come to you and say, I wish I was homeless too. I mean, did you ever see someone doing that? Did you ever see someone who's rich being envious of someone who's poor? You see, understand this. No rich person will ever be envious of someone who's poor. It is poor who will be envious of the rich. Because they don't have and they want that which the others have. But the rich, they have it. They're not envious of others because they have it. Understand this. So anyone who's wealthy, anyone who's rich, is never envious and has hasad with those who are poor. So if you understood that, understand that anyone who has the love of Ali, they understand the treasure that they have. That's why they can never be envious of others, because they have a treasure that no one else has. And if they are envious, it means they don't recognize that they have a treasure. They don't recognize the treasure that they have. My friends, this, my friends, is where you see hasad. It cannot come into those who love Ahlul Bayt. Because the love of Ahlul Bayt is that wealth. When you have it, then you see the wealthy also be envious of the poor. I don't know if I have time today to mention this. Just one small riwayat or hadith from Imam Ali Radha alayhi salatu wasalam. Manzoor Dawaniki was an Abbasi Khalifa. Mansur was his name, his title was Dawaniki. The word Dawaniki means the one who dies for money. Someone who dies for money is called Dawaniki. So this Mansur Dawaniki, person who dies for money, he invited Imam Radha, he invited the Imam to come. And this was Imam Jafar Sadat alayhi salam. Salawat alaikum. Allahumma salli ala Levan went there. And so what happened is that he asked him a question. You know, and he said, this is, everyone is afraid of me. Why aren't you afraid of me? He asked the question right away when he came. Everyone is afraid of me. Why aren't you afraid of me? Now, I just want you to see the reply of the Imam. The Imam replied back. He said, listen, I don't have dunya that I'm afraid to lose. And you do not have deen I'm afraid not finding. I don't have any dunya that I'll be afraid to lose to you. And you don't have any deen that I'm afraid of not finding if I don't come to you. And right away you see that Mansur was embarrassed of asking such a question. He said, alright. You know? Sorry about the first question, that was, you know, not right. So then he answered, well, no, what I'm asking is, everyone comes here to me. And you don't come to me. Right? Why are you here? My friend, understand this. Mansur is someone who has an army. He is an emperor. He has an empire. And he is the one who's wishing that the Imam can come. Imam is not wishing for Mansur. Now understand, Imam doesn't have any worldly wealth. But you see, it's Mansur who has enemy of the Imam. Why? Because when you have true treasure, when you have a true wealth, then others who have this fake wealth will be envious of you. The reason is because wealth is there for happiness. Wealth doesn't bring you happiness. It's that true wealth, which is your faith, that brings you happiness. That brings you happiness. So he says, why don't you come and visit me? So he said, listen. You, those who love their deen will never come to you. Because he said that, why don't you come to me and advise me? Give me nasiha, give me advice, mu'izah. He said, listen, those who love their deen and religion, they will never be found around you. And those who love their dunya will never advise you. Because if you love dunya, you won't want to lose it by advising you. You know, a person like you, you're going to take revenge. You're going to get upset. So that's the reason. We have nothing to do with you. My friends, true wealth is envious. True wealth is that which others are envious of. This is what makes others envious. But those who have true wealth, they're never envious of others. They're never envious of others. Really, if you want to see this, you will see that that lady who gave away everything she had to the Prophet, that Khadija, who gave away everything she had to the Prophet, you know when they got married? I mean, when they got married, and the Prophet, he was hesitant about the marriage because of the fact that he had, or when she asked the Prophet, what type of a woman would you like to marry? So the Prophet said, someone who's equal to me or less than me in worldly positions. And right away Khadija understood that, wait a minute, I'm richer. I have more worldly position than you do, you know? She realized that. And she saw that the Prophet is hesitant for the marriage. And before he said yes, she told him that before you say yes, I want to give away everything I have to you. I'm giving away everything I have to you. Now everything is yours, even I am yours. I am your servant. Now make a decision. Now based on your criteria that you have said, now you have more wealth than I do. You have more worldly position than I do. Because everything I have is yours now. She gave it away to him. You do what you want with it. This is yours now. All I want in return, she asked for two things, my friends. All I want in return is you. And the only thing I ask for you to keep and not put away is my servant Zayd. Zayd ibn Halaba. He has a long history. And you see that the Prophet accepted that and he treated him like a child. He said, yes, he will stay with me. And he treated him like a child. And as far as he was concerned, my friends, that Khadija who gave away everything to the Prophet. And this Prophet is Ashraful Makhlukat. It's Ashraful Makhlukat. When someone does ahsan on him, he knows how to give back that ahsan. You see that she gave away her whole wealth to the Prophet, and Prophet gave himself to her. Now I ask Khadija, tell me, was this trade a good trade for you or not? Tell me, Khadija, is this trade a good trade for you or not? Was this good business? You gave away all your wealth, and in return, all you got was the aba of the Prophet. And that's why when you see that the last days came for Khadija. When the last days came for Khadija, and Khadija was on her deathbed, and Rasulullah was beside her, and Fatima was next to her. Fatima was only 5 years old. And she is ready to become an orphan now. And she knows that she's becoming an orphan. And Khadija is taking her last breath before the Prophet. And she asked the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, have I been a good wife to you? Rasulullah, with tears in his eyes, looks at Khadija and says, Khadija, I ask Allah to have mercy on you in this dunya and in the hereafter. You have been more than a wife to me, you have been a faithful companion. When Khadija died, Rasulullah broke down crying and he took his aba, because Khadija had no money to buy a shroud for herself. There was no money to pay for a kafan. And then you see that the Prophet took his aba and gave it to Khadija. He gave that aba to Khadija, and when he put it on Khadija, Khadija was buried with his aba. All I can say is this, that aba is worth everything that this dunya can offer. If we can have a part of that, then we will be successful in the hereafter. We can go to Allah and say that, Ya Allah, this is what Rasulullah has given me. Imagine, this is why we see that when you come to Ahlul Bayt, then Ahlul Bayt are the ones who accept you more than you accept them. They love you more than you love them. That is why when Hur came to Imam Hussein, couldn't give him water, he couldn't give him food, he was a guest but he couldn't serve him. But then when Hur died, all Imam Hussein gave was his handkerchief. He tied around the head of Hur, and I asked Hur, you left behind everything for Imam Hussein, you left behind everything for Allah, and you got in return the handkerchief of Hussein. This is the greatest gift that you can take before Allah. Ya Allah, bihaqqi Ali, Ya Fatir al-Samawat, bihaqqi Allah. Ya Mohsen, bihaqqi Hassan, Ya Qadim al-Hassan, bihaqqi Hassan. O Lord, give the tawfiq to be on the right path. Use the wisdom to understand the guidance. Haste to the reappearance of our Lord. Make us as our Lord. وآخر الدعوان أن الحمد لله رب العالمين صلوات محمد وعلى آله